Well, hey everyone, you're listening and watching the Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry himself. And in this episode, we're breaking down the meaning behind the four cups of Passover. But as always, we do a little small talk to kind of get us started, Rabbi. And this is actually our second take at this episode. I think it's going to be better than the first one. But Passover 5784, Doors of Destiny, just happened. It was just a week ago. How are you feeling about just the numbers? It was great attendance in-house. It was sold out. Numbers online was incredible. But how are you feeling about it?
Oh, well, listen, I just want to thank you and the staff and the media department and all the volunteers, the caterers, the executive. As you know, listen, we're in the middle of nowhere. We got a small group of people, and to put on an event like this for a full sit-down meal with over 400 people and then have thousands online like we did, it's amazing. And so I just want to thank them for it. Now, what it means for us, Christy and I personally, this was by far the most spiritually meaning-shifting, changing, epic Passover ever. And that's one of the reasons I would like to just to kind of unpack tonight about, you know, you're watching this, and if you haven't watched the Passover, you need to watch it. But what will happen is I want you to rewatch it, and I'm going to give you some real structure of the four cups, so that when you anticipate the cups coming, you know, so much of is expectation and education, so that you know, like, why it's coming. You know, think about it in medicine. If you understand, if your doctor is just kind of like, okay, take this, but if you've done research and you understand, like, let's say, how an antibiotic works, and then it helps, I think, mentally to be able to receive the medicine when you know actually what it's doing. It's almost like your mind and subconscious mind is coming in agreement with what's being inputted to help bring healing. That's basically why I want to do these four cups, is I want you to understand the true value. Each cup is like a step. So it's step one, two, three, four. And if we focus on those and unpack them in this special podcast, I think it will be very beneficial and high value to the people.
Yeah, so we had a really big lead up to Passover this year. We had Chuck Pierce, which was incredible. Walk me through a little bit of, you know, kind of the game plan, because some of it just kind of happened really quick, and it was a really, really good lead up this year.
Yeah, so let's first of all, we have on the 8th, we have this eclipse. Okay, we have a solar eclipse. And then meanwhile, while you have the solar eclipse that is going across the United States, and it's crossing all these cities called, you know, Nineveh. And so they're calling this the Jonah eclipse. So let's focus on that. So what's happening with Jonah? Jonah is a Jewish prophet. He doesn't want to go to the heathens in Nineveh and ask them to repent. First of all, his heart's not right. He doesn't want them to repent. The other thing, he doesn't believe that they're going to repent. So anyway, he starts heading the opposite direction. As you know, he gets swallowed by a whale, vomited out on the beach, gets out, speaks, and everybody repents. But one of the things that happened before Jonah spoke was there was an eclipse there as well. The sun was darkened by the moon, and so everyone was saying, well, here we are, biblical year 5784, and this thing's going right across the United States, and 7 years ago it came across the United States, and now it's making an X across the United States, and it's in the city it's crossing is called Egypt. And so it's like the Lord is saying, are you going to come out of Egypt? So we had that Passover, I mean that event, and the eclipse. Then we had a sacred assembly where we all repented for our sins because of the eclipse. And then Apostle Chuck Pierce comes and for Shabbat brings an incredible word. Basically, his word was, House of David, Kurt Landry Ministries is called to unravel threefold cords. So things that are demonically, like you know, in agreement and by the power of the three-stranded cord. And he talked about that House of David had the power of first fruits and Shabbat. We have been celebrating Shabbat and the feast at House of David on that property for, you know, like over 20 years now we've been doing this. And one of the things he said was, I could not have spoken this word anyplace else other than House of David. So what he was talking about is that the land and the atmosphere in that portal is been honoring Shabbat and has had repentance from the eclipse to the sacred assembly, then to him coming. And now here we are at Passover 5784. And you got five grace, seven perfection, eight new beginnings, four doors. So now you got these double doors that are open. And as they say, you can't make this stuff up. All the steps, I would have liked to have said, man, we just sat back and had board meetings and orchestrated it. But that's not what happened. It's just the Lord. He put it together.
Yeah, so podcast at curtlandry.com. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, just send, obviously we want you to comment, have a good time with your comments, but your questions that you want us to answer, at some point we're going to start doing a lot of just listener and watcher question type episodes and try to really dive into that. But podcast at curtlandry.com, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple or over at curtlandry.com, we'd appreciate you just leaving us a 5-star review. So Rabbi, let's jump into the four cups and what the meaning of the four cups of Passover. Let's start with cup one and we kind of work our way through it.
Okay, so cup number one is the cup of sanctification. And what sanctification means is, in the Hebrew, it's kadosh. So it means to just basically be separated. So, you know, think about it in your kitchen, okay? You have a bunch of dirty dishes and then you have one glass over here to the side that's clean. So you wouldn't put the clean glass through the dishwasher again or wash it in the sink, however you clean your dishes. So only the dirty dishes need to be cleaned, but once the glass is cleaned, it's sanctified. It's off to the side. It's ready to be filled. And so when you make a decision in your life to be sanctified, then what you're saying is, I understand that the wages of my sin, which we all have and commit, is death. But I'm going to be sanctified with this cup, and this cup is going to separate me not just from the sin, but the consequences of it. So that's the first step of being free from the slavery of Egypt or the slavery of sin. Is the first step is sanctification. So, you know, we speak the blessing, we raise our cups, and we come in agreement. We take a sip and we say, thank you, Father God, that I have been sanctified. So the first cup is, so to say, in agreement with the washing of the blood of the Lamb. And what you're doing is you're putting the blood not on the doorposts of your heart, but you're consuming it because you are the temple of the Most High God. You're the Holy Spirit abides in you. It's Christ in you. And what you're doing is you're cleansing the house to prepare the journey out of the slavery of sin. So now you're sanctified from sin, but there's mental thoughts, subconscious mind thoughts, habits and patterns that causes the reoccurrence of sin. That's when we start going with the other cups. They basically cut the soul ties to the habits and patterns. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let's work our way to the second cup now.
Okay, the second cup here, if we go into our Haggadah, which many of you ordered, in fact, we're out of now. I mean, that the numbers of this Passover were just incredible. Online numbers, you know, up, you know, 200-300%, and the engagement, and so people are hungry for this. But one of the things is the second cup is the cup of plagues. One of the things, Passover really has taken on a different meaning ever since COVID, you know, because when COVID happened, one of the things about COVID is around the world, it forced us to be in our houses. So because everything, there was a lockdowns, you know, in Israel and around the world. And for us, we didn't have a Passover. We had to do it from my house. And so what happens is, one of the things is, when you consume the lamb, it says, scripture says, and we consumed it all in one place, in one house. So that literally happened. But people have been more accustomed to the word plague or pandemic. or panic, pandemonium, and all that stuff. Ever since COVID, the way we think about this is it's much more real now than it would have been, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago. But the second cup is the cup of plague, and the cup frees us from the fears of sickness and the fear of disease. And so this cup is a canceller of the root of our fears for sickness, disease, and destruction. So that second cup is like when I really would encourage you to rewatch it, understanding that the Lord's going to take you into that root. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you were raised in a family and the family was doing really well, and then maybe your parents got a divorce, or maybe there was a bankruptcy, something bad happened financially where everybody was good, and then boom, one day, and then everyone goes broke, and you're thrown into debt and poverty and fighting and all the stuff that come with that. A lot of people have had that experience. So what happens is you have a fear, and people know this, and I've had to overcome some of these in my own life, so I know what I'm talking about. What happens is you have to cut the soul tie with the subconscious thought of, you know what, I'm doing great now, but when's the wheels going to fall off the cart? You've heard people like that. It's like this, or people will say stuff like, it's great, but it won't last forever. That is a pre-programmed soul tie with a negative experience that you had when you were younger. And so what this second cup is, a plague, it removes fear of sickness, disease, and disaster.
Yeah, it's, you know, to have such a relatable, you know, type of cup that comes in second, I think is very practical as you lead someone through the four cups. And, it, you know, each cup gets deeper and deeper, right? So now transition me from this incredibly, especially how you just broke it down right now, on how people have those soul ties and they have things. And, you know, I mean, I think everybody at some point in their lives are probably have that thought, well, I mean, things are going really good now, but they're anticipating so negative thoughts and energy with them that something's about to happen, right? Something's about to break, something's going to go wrong. And then the anxiety kind of comes into it. And so, you know, the one episode we had on soul ties, really, really good one that is going to be released, I think, sometime in the near future. But when it does come out, we'll, you know, make some social media post about it. But understanding soul ties in the plague in the second cup is pretty eye-opening, I think, especially for Christians that are newer coming into celebrating Passover.
Yeah. You know, I could go, you could go into the deepness of the cup. You know, this is when you cancel the root of the 10 plagues, because, you know, we call out on this, the blood, the frogs, the gnats. But just, I want to make a note on this. The reason Moses just couldn't go in and say, let my people go, and Pharaoh said, yeah, okay, he was making a demonstration to the Egyptians as well as to the children of Israel. So the Jews and the non-Jews, listen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is more powerful than Ra. So Ra is the sun god. Okay, so all of these blood, frogs, gnats, locusts, hail, all of that, death of the firstborn, these are all, so to say, proxies of the main god, which is the sun, Ra god. And so what was happening is, like, when Pharaoh would, you know, call in his sorcerers and stuff, if you've ever watched, you know, the Passover, if you ever watched the Ten Commandments on, you know, with Charlton Heston, and, you know, they throw the rods down and they turn into a snake, and Moses' snake eats their snakes and all of that. What was happening is there was a deliverance in the altar of Egypt, in the most powerful country in the world at that time, and Moses went in and said, nope, all 10 Ra gods are going to bend its knee to the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down to the death of the firstborn, and then they exited. That's kind of what Passover is all about. Let's get the Egypt out of us. And so we have to cut the soul ties. All of us in our family line, we have different things like that would be generational. People say, what do you mean generational? People call them generational curses. That's what I call them. But you'll see, like, in women, like you'll see in a family, like with my family, my adoptive family, breast cancer. You know, just you see the different women having it. And like, why is that? Well, it's a generational DNA. It's a curse. You'll see heart disease or whatever it may be, different cancers and stuff. So when you cut the soul tie with it, what you're doing is you're denying the right of that sickness and disease and the fear of it to torment you. And the best thing is not to be passed on to your children. Mm. It's a legacy thing. And I always challenge people, why don't you be the person, like in our family, it was Christy, why don't you be the person that steps up and believes God, intercedes and prays and breaks the family curses off the family? And, you know, she's done that. We do it now. And it's amazing because we do not see the inherent behavior and curses that were on Christy's family and mine in Paul and Megan or the grandbabies. It's just non-existent. So you can do this. And this particular cup, the cup of plagues, this second cup is where you cut that off.
So before we move on to the third cup, for people watching, people listening, how do they do that? Right? I mean, like you just used the example of Miss Christy doing it for your family and really, you know, getting that started, right? And it's moved through generations, right? I mean, like it's been a lot of time since she really started that. So practically, what are a couple steps, a couple house steps for people watching or listening?
Probably the best example of it would be to go and rewatch the Passover and fast forward up to the first cup. And then watch that first and second and third cup. If you'll rewatch those, because the prayers that I do in that, I can give you an example right now, but basically what you're doing is you hear us saying things like making decrees. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We were once slaves, but now we're free. This isn't a play. This isn't a school play. We're going into the courts of heaven, for the power of life and death is in the tongue. We're speaking out over our family line. And what we're doing is we're reversing the curse with proclamation, declarations, and deeds.
Okay, so let's move to the third cup, because, again, Passover 5784, 2024, you can just find it on our YouTube channel, or you can go back to our Facebook to rewatch it. So the third cup, Rabbi.
The third cup is the cup of redemption or healing released. So the third cup, if you remember, and you've watched any kind of movies on the Last Supper, first of all, there is no Last Supper. Okay, it's just a term that man uses. It was Jesus's Last Supper, but it was his last Passover table. Jesus said, with fervent desire, I desire to have this Passover with you before I suffer. So he knew what was coming. But when he got to the third cup of the Passover, they poured the cup, but he said, I'm not going to drink of this cup until you see me again in my kingdom. So he didn't drink this cup. And the reason he didn't drink this cup of redemption is because he became the cup. So at this point in the Passover, this was right after this, is when he said, the one who dips with me is going to betray me. And that's when Judas betrayed him. It's right after when he made the decrees on this cup. So this cup, the cup of redemption, is where we as Christians get communion. This is where we take a matzah, we speak a blessing over the bread, and I'm going to do a whole teaching on the bread. In fact, we may do a podcast on the bread. And it's interesting that it's something I'm developing right now, but the word bread and the word Bethlehem, all these words numerically all come up to the number 490. So if you take the Hebrew letters, each one has a numerical equivalent, and if you add it up, all of them is 490. So it's interesting, because 490 is perfection. And so that's when Jesus told his disciples. That's why I love all this Hebrew root stuff. It's because he said, how many times should I forgive? He said, seven times seven, which is 490. So So anyway, so what is bread? Bread is forgiveness. That's my point. So this cup, the third cup, is the only cup where we take bread, forgiveness, and the blood, which is sanctification, and we bring those two together. That's where at this place where the bread of life, forgiveness, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, this earthen vessel, as it is in heaven. Forgive us, 490, this day, forgive us this Lord this day, and give us our daily bread as we forgive those. So what happens is bread and forgiveness are tied together. And so when you lift up that bread at the third cup, and the cup of redemption is saying, I choose to be forgiven with the bread, but his blood expunged my sin. So I have forgiveness. I choose to consume the bread of forgiveness. He became it, but I choose to apply his blood onto my life for the expungement. It's a legal term. My sins have been erased as if they weren't committed.
So let's do a quick recap. The first three as we get to the fourth.
Okay. So if we go to the first one, it's the cup of sanctification. Sanctification is set apart. When you're set apart, then you have no fear of plagues. That's fear removed from fear of death, sickness, and disease. If you're set apart, sickness, disease, bankruptcies, divorce, they can't touch you because you're set apart. The third cup is to say, okay, I've been sanctified. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. Now I want to renew my covenant like a marriage covenant with the third cup of redemption. I decree I will consume the bread of forgiveness and seal it with the blood that heals.
Man, it's been a really good episode. Again, as you've said multiple times, if you weren't able to watch and you just popped on Kurt Landry Ministries and you somehow found this YouTube channel or this Facebook page or this podcast on Apple or Spotify, please, please go back, Passover 5784, 2024, and just type that into YouTube. You're going to find the stream that just happened about a week ago. So let's wrap up. Let's get the fourth cup, and then we'll do your final thoughts.
Okay, so the fourth cup is the cup of praise. And what the cup of praise is now that you're okay, so you've been sanctified, you've been healed, and now you're in new covenant with God, with forgiveness and being healed by the blood, now you give the cup of praise. So the Lord says, okay, now that you've done step one, two, and three, I'm going to fill your life with the nine blessings of Passover of Exodus 23. So what we do is we give the cup of praise. This year we did a little different. Normally I will release the nine blessings of Passover, but this year we had Apostle Tom and Jane Hammond do it. And of course, they're Vision Church in Santa Rosa Beach. They're good friends of ours, and we do a lot of things. And they're like family to us, but they're what we call hyper-proclaimers, decreer, declares. If you go to their church, I mean, they have, you know, their worship team is, hammering it on proclaiming. They're big into the proclamation stuff. It's their lifestyle. It's their culture. And I love that. I wasn't really thinking that when I invited them to come at the last minute. I said, let's have them do it. So what they proclaimed is the nine blessings of Passover. And so I want you to look at this. For putting your feet under his table, you know, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then it says, I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And then he says, I anoint your head and your cup runs over. So first of all, Psalm 23, that is Passover. In the Hebraic translation of Psalm 23, that's, and when he says prepare a table, that's a Seder. That's a Passover Seder, okay? And so if you didn't have the Hebrew understanding of it, but it is. So then he anoints your head with oil, but then your cup overflows. Overflows with what? With these blessings. So let me just share with you, here's the blessings of Psalm 23, the fourth cup. Promise of divine protection, positioning and alignment that provides protection from your enemies, commissioning of divine authority, supernatural health, kingdom prosperity, covenant protection, multiplication, longevity, godly release from fear, respect from your enemies, The Lord will deliver you out of your enemies. He becomes an enemy to your enemies. The Lord will give you dominion and increase of inheritance and freedom from corrupt covenants. Wow. So every year when you take that fourth cup, what you're saying is, Father God, let the overflow of my cup be that you destroy my enemies, you make my my path clear, you keep me healthy, prosperous, the joy of the Lord is my strength. All of this, if you can imagine a wine goblet and the wine doesn't stop pouring, and it's just the wine's running over the edge of the cup, the visual, running all over the table. What it's doing is the blood, symbolic of the wine, is going out and making your life, giving you a broad place to prosper. That's the fourth cup.
So to wrap everything up, what are your final thoughts for the four cups and where we're currently at in counting the Omer, and what are we looking at towards Shavuot?
Okay, so let me give you a prophetic word for the counting down of the Omer that the Lord just gave me yesterday when I was praying, actually with our intercessory prayer and our prayer pastors from House of David, okay, Kurt Landry Ministries. So we were praying, we went in the courts, we're praying for you, we're praying for all of you, our partners. It's one of the reasons you are in covenant with us. We actually pray for you and believe God. So anyway, Patty and Tony and Christy and all of us were praying, and I'm a seer. So I'm in the courts, and the Lord showed me a nest, a bird nest. And the bird nest he showed me is that every year at our house, we have these cardinals, and they nest in this wire basket that we have back by the house. Every year they come back. So I saw that nest, and I said, Lord, what am I looking at? In my head, the Lord said, nest, your nest is your hope. I said, okay. Then the vision kind of went up a little higher, and I saw eggs in the nest. So I saw the eggs, and I said, Lord, what are the eggs? And the Lord said, the eggs are your faith. It's the promises. So all the promises of the nine blessings of Passover, all the promises of being sanctified, redeemed from the plagues, being healed and delivered, all those promises, he said, for the next 50 days during this counting down of the Omer, take all of your promises and put it in a nest of hope. Because the Lord will renew your hope and you shall rise up as on wings of eagles. And so we were praying, and some people are being attacked in the ministry. And so I asked the Lord, what's the attack? And the Lord said, here's the attack. The attack is strife. They're striving. So I said, okay. So if they're striving, they're trying to make things happen that need to just naturally unfold. So here's a closing word for you on this podcast. You know, have a nest of hope. Brood over or sit on your eggs of promise. And don't let the storms and the delays take you off. Your job right now is to keep your eggs of faith and promises covered and keep them underneath, and you don't have to do anything. Blessed is he who waits on the Lord, and they shall renew their youth and rise up as on wings like eagles.
Let's do a second closing. Can you pray for people listening, watching, when they're in this incredibly important time, as we're transitioning to the next feast?
Yes. So, Father God, I do. I lift up every egg of faith and promise for your family. And, Lord, I thank you that it's in a deep, wonderful nest of hope. And, Lord, I ask that not only as we, so to say, as a hen gathers her chicks and sits on these eggs, that, Lord, that you would also cover us under the shelter of the Almighty. And that, Lord, that you would bring forth what I saw in the vision. Actually, I saw four eggs, and I'll be actually ministering a prophetic word on that next week. But Lord, I thank you for the four eggs and what they mean, and I thank you that they will hatch out and go full term for each and every person that's listening and watching in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please click that subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications. Anytime we go live for Shabbat or any type of content that we post, you'll get that notification. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, just hit the follow. We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next time.
Hey, before you go, I got something really exciting I want to share with you. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of us as a One New Man Covenant subscriber. This membership is going to allow you to receive weekly prophetic words and also content that's not available to the general public. Your membership is going to help us to be able to bring better content, and more education to you. What is needed in this day and hour is good information. So become a One New Man Covenant subscriber for Kurt Landry Ministries, and I want to thank you in advance.